Great, I guess we can get started. Wow, what a crowd. I was thinking, oh, this is the last session of the day. You know, people might just take sort of a leave of absence, but geez, you guys must be really interested in this topic. It's good to see. Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Robert Blass. I'm a senior BI consultant with Datacom. I've been in the IT field for over 25 years, and most of that has been around business intelligence and data warehousing projects. I remember one of my first projects very early on in the early 90s was for a pharmaceutical company. We used SAS for Windows, and was even prior to the days of data warehousing being even a name. And we developed a couple of components that were later actually introduced into SAS's data warehouse toolkit called Motori. So I've seen a lot of progression over the years. The wonderful land of BI, where we can develop dashboards on the fly. We've got magic stuff called pixie dust that help us with our quality issues. Yeah, right. That's an alternate reality. Sad case is, that's not true. We like to get there. So today I'd like to talk to you about a topic that I'm quite passionate about, data quality, and how that fits in within your business, your BI life cycle. Hang on. That doesn't seem to be working. There we go. So the agenda today, we're going to talk about the effects of bad data. Going to define data quality management. I will briefly discuss governance and process, and then I will go on to talk about how data quality services from Microsoft can actually assist you with your data quality analysis. BI supports your decision-making process. It was interesting to hear at the keynote speech by James Whittaker, where he mentioned the data economy. I will actually take that one step further. It's called the information economy. Data on its own is pretty meaningless. It's when we provide context that it actually is something useful. And that information we shape into dashboards and reports. Now, with today's ever-increasing fast-paced economies, we need to bring out that information faster. We've got a greater appetite for it. The result is that we tend to cut corners, and one of those corners is around data quality. How confident is your organization in its decision-making process? This slide says a lot. I'll let you read it a bit. Let me tell you a personal story. Many years ago, when I started out in data warehousing, I was involved in a project for a large multinational developing or manufacturer of cables. And I was working on the back-end data warehouse, and my colleague was doing the dashboards and the reports. And the information was provided around the business definitions and the rules from an accountant. Now, one day, my colleague came back, and he was in a pretty foul mood. I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "I just had a UAT session with the accountant, and he says the reports and the dashboards are wrong." So he spent the next 3 to 4 weeks manually going through all the calculations and reviewing those dashboards and reports. And they were perfectly correct with the information that we'd been given. So he went back to the accountant. And it turns out that the accountant's Excel sheet on which all those rules were based was actually wrong. But what's worse is this accountant's information had been given to the executives and the management for the past 5 years. So it begs the question, how good were the decisions made by those executives? Some statistics. This is based on surveys performed in the States and in the U.K. U.S. economy could stand to lose $3.1 trillion due to bad data. Another survey said, well, data quality best practices can boost your revenue by 66%. Another survey says just by increasing the usability of your data by 10%, organizations could increase their revenue by $2 billion. Another survey in the U.K. for four large supermarkets showed that they could stand to lose over $1 billion over a period of 5 years. That's huge. Another survey showed that poor data or lack of data visibility is the number one reason for project overruns. Another survey shows $600 billion loss in revenue for businesses in the States. One that I found extremely interesting was that 46% of respondents of the survey said that poor data quality is one of the major reasons for not adopting BI and analytics products. That's huge. That's basically telling us that we are losing out on 50% of the market. So, what is data quality? It's a set of measures that give an organization an indication of the level of confidence and fit for purpose the data can be for operational strategic decision-making process. Data quality management are a set of processes by which we manipulate the organization's data to increase its quality. Now, when I say manipulate, I mean in the good sense. I'm not talking about creative accounting here. So why do we check for data quality? Well, as we've outlined, it directly impacts your decision-making process and hence has an effect on your profitability of your organization. But on top of that, there are also regulatory constraints. Especially since a financial market collapse in 2008, more regulatory constraints have been imposed, certainly on the financial and insurance sectors. And think of your privacy regulation. That's also a concern. So what are the common issues and causes for data quality? When we merge data from multiple sources, that's a common point where data quality issues can occur. Also, data transmission. Long gone are the days of using analog modems where your file could become corrupt because a couple of bits didn't get transferred correctly across. But let me ask you, how many of you in your organization have processes that check to make sure that all the files that you need have actually arrived? More importantly, do you have a process in place to alert your users if they are not there? Data entry. Well, I'm sure many of you have worked with legacy systems and the problems that that can cause. So during those days, constraints were either not implemented or were not a feature within the system. That's a common cause for a data quality problem. Inconsistent sources. Many of us have probably worked with multiple files for customer information or product information. How do you manage that? Broken rules. Now that's something I think a lot of us tend to forget. Business definitions. We need to make sure that we capture the business definitions within an organization. Another personal story. I was working for a telco company developing a dashboard, and I had to provide a revenue figure. And I sat there with the accountant. I said, great, can you tell me the formula? And he looks at me all bedazzled and says, no, I was hoping you could. Very important, business rules. So what do we check for? We check and make sure that the data is complete, that everything arrives, that it's consistent. When we've got a field that's got either a 0 or a 1, that it's consistently filled in as a 0 or a 1, male or female, true or false. Validity, we check and make sure that all the values correspond to accepted domains. We check for accuracy. We make sure that the measures that we've introduced fall within margins of error. Accepted margins of error. Conformity, we make sure that the business rules that we've captured have been properly applied across all our information levels. And we check for duplicates. Governance and process, classic one. I think we've lost our way a bit in IT. A lot of IT projects have been driven by technology, and that's not correct. Technology should never be a driver, it should be a facilitator. It facilitates your processes within an organization. Those processes facilitate the work that people have to do on a daily basis. Very important to remember. It's also about taking ownership. It's important that people within the organization understand that everyone needs to take responsibility around the quality of the information and the quality of the data. If there's a problem, you don't stick your head in the sand. Even if you're not responsible for that piece of information, highlight it. Yeah, but don't stick your head in the sand. So we got to make sure we put processes in place that support our overall IT governance. We got to provide a platform that allows people to assess the information, to assess the data. More importantly, to be able to communicate that and to escalate any issues and to escalate to the appropriate people. Now, those appropriate people are already there. They're the go-to people. These are the data stewards. They're not new roles. How often have you heard, oh, we'll go to Sam. He's been here 20 years. He knows what this means. Got to provide the means to take action. There's no point of being able to communicate it and not to be able to take the appropriate action and correct the problem. And more importantly, monitoring. Keep monitoring. This is not a one-off exercise. You need to keep doing this. So, where does data quality fit in to your BI project lifecycle? Well, pretty much from the start. When you initiate a project, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to profile that data. What's the point of continuing with a project if you know that data is of very little use because of its poor quality? That'd be just a waste of time and effort to continue on with that. So, once you've established that it's useful, and during your analysis and design process, you're going to continue with your profiling, you're going to establish your business rules, and you're going to establish domains and start preparing test cases around that data. Development phase, you're going to create your SSIS and SSES packages. You will be creating your domains based on the information from your analysis and design. And you will start implementing your first DQS projects. And you will also start running them in your UAT environment to start looking at the potential problems that might occur. And you're going to develop your dashboards and reports. In production, you continue to use your DQS projects. Continuous monitoring and continuous action taking. So, how can DQS assist you? Well, it allows you to develop, through a discovery process, a knowledge base and a reusable knowledge base. So you can define a semantic layer that you can test your information and data on. And you can extend that layer through third-party suppliers. Now, what's also interesting is you can use it in conjunction with MDS, also very important. So what are the global functions? Well, build a knowledge base, use that knowledge base. But data assessment, through data assessment and knowledge base matching, we develop a knowledge base that we then use for data cleansing purposes and matching and consolidation. What is the architecture? Well, it's pretty straightforward. DQS is a service. And the engine makes use of a couple of databases where the knowledge base is stored and the projects are run and the statistics around the projects are kept. You've got core functionality around knowledge discovery, data profiling, cleansing and matching, and reference data. Now, as I mentioned, that reference data can be from third-party suppliers, and through the use of APIs, you can connect to those third-party suppliers. And one of those is around Azure Marketplace. We've got a user interface, which allows us to manage our knowledge base and run interactive data quality projects and do some data exploration. We've also got an SSIS component that will allow you to plug it into your backend systems to take any actions that are defined within your knowledge base and update your source information based on problems that occur with your data. What are the requirements? Pretty straightforward for the server. You need minimum 2 gigabytes of RAM, maximum of 4, or recommended is 4. Client-side .NET Framework 4.0 and Internet Explorer 6 is a minimum. Right. Time for a demo. Is that clear for everyone? Okay. So, this is the client interface, and we've got three core function groups. One is around managing the knowledge base, the other is around the data quality projects that you will run, and you've got some administrative functions as well. Now, I'm going to show some source data. So the first thing I will do is show you how to create a simple knowledge base around an Excel source where you've defined accepted values for colors and shade for a product database. So if we look here as well at Excel, this side, we've got a product, simple product file here, and associated color and shade for that product. Now I've introduced a couple of errors here that I want DQS to pick up, okay? So let's go back and show how we do that. Okay, so let's create a new knowledge base. Now we'll call this color shade. I've already got one, so I'll call this two. You've got the ability to use an existing knowledge base to create a new one, which I'm not going to do here. I will use the discovery process to establish this. I've noticed there's a button missing here at the bottom, so, where's this gone off to? It's not showing up. It's disappeared. I'm sorry about that. Let me close that and start it up again. Connect. Let's see if I can make it just slightly smaller. I've got a bit of a problem here. I don't know if one of the guys can come up and... Yeah, the resolution is not entirely correct. Yeah, that bottom part's not showing up.
At all.
No. All right, I'm not going to use this. Can't make it any smaller. No. Do you want to use that one instead? Yeah. Otherwise, just use a duplicate screen instead of extend. There we go. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Sorry about that. So we'll start that one again. Shade 2. And I'm going to create it through knowledge discovery. And I've got the ability here to identify my source. Now, my source can be a SQL Server table or, in my case, an Excel file. So I will call that up. And we've got CSV file here. And I need to identify the columns that I'm going to import. So, color and shade. And I now need to create two domains where the values will be stored. So I will create a shade and a color. Great. And assign that here. And now, in the next screen, we will ask DQS to start a process of analyzing the source information and importing those values. Now, depending on how many values you have, that can take some time. And you've got some basic statistics here. It'll tell you how many records it's analyzed and how many values it's come back with. And it will also tell you some interesting information around the unique spreads of the values. So in this case, we've got 6 unique colors and 2 unique shades. In the next screen, I can look at those values individually, and I've also got the ability to either identify those values as accepted or incorrect, with the potential to modify with another value if need be. I will finish that. No, I'm not going to publish yet because I want to show you something. So if I go to my color shades domain here, and I go to the domain values that have been imported, you can see that DQS has automatically included a DQS null. So null is an accepted value as well. Yeah? Great. So let me finish that, and I will publish it. Once you've published it, the knowledge base can be used for testing purposes. So let's test that across the Excel sheet with the products and colors. And we'll call that test. And identify the domain that I'm going to use, which is this one. And I need to identify the source that's going to be tested. And I will use this. And I need to identify the columns that I'm going to test. And against which domains. Great. So if I go to my Excel sheet again, the highlighted values should be marked as by DQS as errors. Great. So let's run that project. So we got a similar screen here again. We asked DQS to start the analysis process. And you've got some statistics that come out. What we can see here, again, standard statistics around number of records that it's analyzed, and statistics around how many incorrect values or new values that DQS has found. And it will give you an overall average for each domain that it's tested. We can see here for colors that 50% seem to be new values, ones that it hasn't recognized. Now, what's important to remember here is this is going to be used by the business user for defining the domains. They need to take some appropriate action for the errors that have come up. So if we go through new values, what we can see here are the ones that it's found and the number of items that it's found as well. So I can take individual action here as a user, but what's more important is this is not going to be a one-off exercise in most cases. So what we want to do is that any action that I take here, I want to import and supplement into my knowledge base, refine my knowledge base. So I can do that. So what do I do here? I say, well, individually, these values are incorrect, but I'd like you to update that automatically to green next time you find it. The same story here. I'd like that to be white every time you find an incorrect value of wheat. And I approve that. And I do take the same action here, reject it individually. I approve that. No. Tiny little bug. Eject. And approve. Great. And I can review that here. These are my actions. Okay? Now, if we go to shade, the other interesting thing is DQS has some smarts. Okay? Here, it's noted that the value dark double K, well, potentially that could be dark. And I'm actually 77% confident that that is the case. So I say, right, that's correct. Approve that. Next step. Basically, it will take these actions and you can store them in either a SQL table or an Excel file, which can then be used by IT or whoever is responsible for updating the backend source. Yeah? Yes?
So the
cleaning of the shades. Sorry, I can't. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to go through all of them. Yeah, I just want to show what the system can do. So I will finish that. Okay, so how do I import those actions back in my knowledge base? Because I want this to be done automatically next time it comes across these same errors. Well, I go to my domain. And in the domain values, I can say, right, import the actions from my project. And there we go. So now I've enriched my knowledge base with actions that I've taken. And I can do the same thing for shades. There we go. And you can see that dark double K will now be corrected automatically to dark. Great. I will publish that. And I will run another project. Shade. Okay, and run that across this. And identify my source. Need to identify the columns I'm going to test and the domains that I'm testing against. Great. Run that. And bang. It's finished. It's updated. Brilliant. We can see the individual actions here. And you can see that it's now automatically corrected the incorrect values for colors and the one for shade. Great. And then I can store that either in an Excel table, Excel sheet, or a SQL Server table. Great. That's one. Now, the other thing I want to show you is also the complexity you can introduce with DQS, and it's called composite domains. Now, for composite domains, I've got another example, which is this one. Here we've got a person worksheet. Basically, it's got some very simple columns. We've got a title column, first name, middle name, last name, gender, and marital status. Now, note that the title column, large part is blank, some of it's filled in, and we want to introduce a DQS rule where it checks the value of gender and marital status, and based on those values, automatically update the title field. Okay? So if you look here, for example, the error introduced, we've got Janice Galvin. She's female, she's single, yet the title has been filled in as Mrs. So what we want to do is for DQS to actually recognize that as an error and automatically update the title to the correct value. So how are we going to do that? Okay. Well, you can introduce several rules, so, but I just want to show you what you can do with it, yeah? So we'll create a new knowledge base. And I'll call that two, and go through a discovery process. And in here, I want to show you how you can use the discovery process on actual values in your production environment as well. So if we consider that Excel sheet with person data is production. We can have DQS look at all the potential values that could come out of it. Whoops, I've got the wrong one. There we go. And I need to identify the columns that I'm going to use. I've got gender, marital status, and title. I need to create domains for those. So I've got a title domain. There we go. And I've got a marital status domain. There we go. Which I assign here. And I want a gender domain. And I assign that here. Great. And I'll go through the same process as I did before. I will ask DQS to analyze that. And what you can see here is that it has actually found that most of the values for title are empty. Great. So you can use DQS for some profiling exercises. So I look here. These are the values for gender that it's found, unique values for marital status, and for title. Great. I don't want to publish this yet, because I want to create a composite domain. So, in here, my domain management, I will create a domain called title update, and I want to use all three fields for testing purposes. Create my rule. So, first one, title Mr. If my gender is equal to male, then always update my title field to Mr. Great. That's one. The next one, Miss. When my gender is female, and my marital status value is equal to single, then change my title value to Miss. And I will do one more. When my gender is female and my marital status is married, then my title value always needs to be Mrs. Oops. What did it say? There we go. Well, where were we? There we go. Sorry, I can't see here. There we go. Sorry. My eyes are not what they used to be. There we go. There we go. Screen's tiny. I'm old. It doesn't like the fact that I haven't said anything here in terms of... Yeah, it's a bug. Sorry about that. There we go. That's better. Okay, great. So, I finished that and I published my domain. Great. I will now run a project across that and call it Person Title Update. And I'm going to identify my domain that I'm going to be using. The knowledge base here is Person Title Update 2. And the source is my Excel sheet. There we go. And you can see it's automatically picked up the columns here already. And I need to identify the composite domain that I'm going to use for the title update. Great, I've done that. Now I'm going to run my project. And bang, it's now got 100% accuracy, whereas before it was a lot lower. I can look at the results individually, and we can see the corrections that have taken place. It keeps a record count of the number of times it's come across the error. So here what we can see is when we've had a female married, it's updated that to title misses 8 times. Female married where it was miss, updated it once with misses, and so on. Again, we can store that result set in an Excel sheet or a table on SQL Server to then be used in a backend process. Right. So these are actions taken by the business user. Managing the domain is actually the data steward's role, okay? Defining that, managing the project results, taking the appropriate actions, and importing those values back into the domain to enrich it, that's the data steward, yeah? Now I want to show you how you can use in SSIS, components that allow you to run your domain and feed the results and actions back into your source environment to automatically update those tables. So, we go to SSIS, and whoops, is that readable? Yeah. And I also want to open up this one. Let's see if I can drag that across. Okay, so I've got a demo data database where I've introduced the product color shades table that we had previously with a combination of products and the associated color and shade definition for them with the associated errors. And we can see here, for example, that dark double K is in there. I've added some additional fields for traceability purposes. These can obviously be expanded, but I just wanted to keep it simple. So I've got a create date of the record, an updated date, plus what modified it. Yeah? I've also introduced a table corrected color shade as a staging area where the actions that the system is going to take will be stored in there. Okay? Now, if I go to my SSIS component, I have here 3 main tasks. The first will be to truncate my staging table. The second task is a data flow task where I will run my project and the appropriate actions will be stored inside my staging table. And then my last step will be a simple SQL statement that will update my production table with the results in the staging table, okay? So, let's go to the data flow test. The first thing I need to do is identify the source that I'm going to test. So in here, I've identified the product color shades table. And I'm going to identify my data cleansing project. Here we go. Now, I had to reintroduce that, but basically I've created a color shades SSIS knowledge base based on the previous one that I showed in the demo. And in here, I now need to define the columns that I'm going to test against the domain in the knowledge base. Great. I've got a third tab that will allow me to identify some of the outputs and streamline the outputs. Great. In here, I've set up a data view so we can see what the result set is after the data quality services project has run. I need to use a conditional split. Based on the value of the action, I will define what task or step needs to take place. And I've defined several here. For new values, I will ask the system to store them in a separate file. that separate file for color, new color values, and separate file for new shade values. And in this part, I have asked it to store the information around actions for corrections and errors and place those in my staging table. So let me run this. We can see what happens. There we go. And if, where's my data view going to? There we go. So if you look at the data view, we can see here the same sort of output that we had when running the projects interactively. And you can see the newly identified fields. Great. Let's go back here and let it continue. And we can see that the new values are stored in separate files. Okay? What's important to remember here is this is something that you will run in your backend. This will run nightly or hourly, something you can schedule. What then happens is the results from that project will need to be reviewed by the data steward to take the appropriate action. So if we go back now to Data Quality Service Interface, and I open up my projects, and you can see here the newly run project by SSIS. The data steward can then review the results of that. So if I look, for example, here, and I look at my new values, got a similar situation like we did before. Great. What I'm going to do as a data steward, I'm going to take the exact actions I did before. I'm going to approve that. And that will become white. Individual one will be rejected. But overall, next time you come across it, please update it automatically. White. Reject that. Approve. White, reject that, and approve. Great. Next. And here we go. We can see the we can preview the results. We can also store those. We don't need to do that in this case. And I'm going to go to my domain and take the same actions I did in the previous example. I'm going to import those actions and enrich my knowledge base. And I can select the project. And we can see that these new actions will be imported into my knowledge base and enrich it. Perfect. Let me publish that again. Now, next time I run my SSIS package, it will take the newly enriched knowledge base and take the appropriate actions for correcting those values. So let's run through that again. And there we go. If I look at the output, we can see here that it's identified corrected values to be taken. Now, within our conditional step, we're going to have a branch off where it says, right, I've got corrected values for colors, and I'm going to store that corrected action in my staging table here. So if I now look at the staging table, you can see the actions that will need to be taken place to update your source table. And that is the final step in the visuals in the SSIS package here. We update our production table. So let's review the result. If I look at my production table, we can see that this value has been updated at that particular point in time by that process. Now, this is a very simplified version, but you can obviously put more traceability columns in there. You can store your original value as opposed to the new value, etc. So, the sky's the limit when it comes to that. So basically, I hope you can see through this how you can use, on the one hand, your knowledge base, define it and enrich it, and have business users manage that, yet have a back-end process through SSIS that allows you to take that information and apply it across your production environment. Right, got time for some Q&A. Any questions? Yes. Alas, yes. Well, I've looked at the metabase. It's quite ugly. Yeah. You have to go through this. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, you didn't? You can do that as well. So you can be quite complex in the type of rules you can implement.